Okay, well, thank you very much. My name is Mark. You probably see me running around. And one of the advantages of organizing a conference is that you can put yourself at the end of the day where you can just take as long as you want. So I hope you weren't waiting on dinner with too much anticipation. Is Christian faith less honest than science? So let's jump right in. This is a personal journey for me. I ran up against this question in my own studies. It occurred to me, myself, and I right on this campus. This is my attempt at answering this question. So this is a lifelong thing, and perhaps you will be invited along the journey with me. I'm focusing in apologetics at ACT seminaries when I'm not working for CSCA. That is the place where most of us had ice cream last night. Very nice school to go to. I'm studying under a man named Paul Chamberlain, who's just trying to enter the room now. If you don't know what apologetics just means giving an answer, giving a reason, responding to challenges to the Christian faith. So if you get lost with that word, that's what that word means. So one of the things Paul Chamberlain has us do, right over here, is he has us write essays in class, dialogue essays. So instead of just researching one thesis and defending it, you have to research the antithesis. And you have to put these two characters in conversation, and you know pretty quickly, if you're going to get a good grade, you know really quickly if you haven't researched the other side. Because your other character is like, oh yeah, good point, oh yeah, good point. So you have to. And so when you do that, it teaches you to look at both sides. And so as I did that, I started to wonder, well, wouldn't I be wrong about being a Christian, period? And am I really honest about that? Because a few times I changed my thesis due to my research. I wrote a paper on one thing and I had to actually say, well, I guess I got to go to the introduction and erase that and write the opposite. So is it possible to do that with your whole Christian faith? That's the main thing I'm up against here. Epistemology, that means the study of knowing, from the Greek episteme, lacking any special characters that might have been included. So I want to avoid what I might call scarecrow apologetics here. Scarecrow, referring to the straw man fallacy. It means that instead of actually dealing with the critique, I make fun of the critique, I make a weak version of it, and then I come and I kick it down, and then I claim victory. So that can happen when you're only having a one-sided dialogue. So I want to hear the strongest form. He who gives an answer before he hears is a folly and a shame to him. The first to present his case seems right until another comes and presents it. So this is in the Bible, more or less. So let's do the best versus best, and then we can forget the rest. All right? Or at least the weaker forms of the argument are not as serious. My angle on this is a philosophical and theological angle, so I'm not here today to focus on specific sciences. I'm not talking about any specific science. This is a 20-minute talk. I won't give examples. Saying apologetics is bad. I'm not saying apologetics is bad. I gave this talk 2 years ago in Los Angeles, and some people thought I was denying miracles. Some people thought I was saying apologetics are bad. Some people thought a lot of things, so you people watching me on the internet, I'm not saying that. It's a work in progress. And in case you fall asleep, no, it's not dishonest. We're not saying Christian faith is less honest than science, but we want to know how we can say that. I do. All right, Richard Dawkins. If you don't know him, he's a famous atheist. If you've ever researched any kind of atheism, Christianity questions, he's one of the first names you've come across. He's a very vocal, very famous biologist, popularizer of science as well at Oxford University, brilliant biologist. So he says, and he's referring to fundamentalists here, but he says, hey, for these people, their book is true, and if the evidence seems to contradict the book, well, then let's throw out the evidence. That's how Christians act. That's basically what he's saying. Now, I know, but I want to be honest, he's referring to fundamentalism when he says that, if you read. But I'm pretty sure he would just draw a pretty straight line. So he says, I know what it would take to change my mind. He's referring about to science here, and I think he refers to evolution. He says, I know what it would take to change my mind about evolution. Show me this, that, and the other thing, and I will change it. And I look at that personally, and I think, now what would it take to change my mind about Jesus Christ? And am I honest? And this is just the deep, dark rabbit hole I stared down. And I still stare down it. And this is the best I can do. And so my apologies if you end up staring down your own rabbit hole when we're done, but hopefully I can help. My conceptual journey, hey, well, does Dawkins have a point? Is there a plank in our own eye? Is there? Well, science progresses by trying to disprove its own theories. If you listen to Dennis Venema, I think he's in here, that's one of the things he taught me. Biologists are always trying to disprove evolution. They would do well for themselves if they did. Scientific knowledge is provisional. Now, am I saying there that it's provisional that the Earth goes around the Sun or not? Well, it depends what you mean. It's responsible to live as if the Earth goes around the Sun, and I'm going to check yes on that box every time. But if I'm saying by provisional, if I'm going to tell you, no, you never have to do any more research, you never have to listen to any new evidence on that question, well then I'm going to say, no, actually, it's provisional. You are never given permission to stop engaging with nature. So that's what I mean. And that's the same idea. So we're always open in science to new evidence, show-stopping, game-changing, paradigm-shifting evidence. Get out of the middle, Earth, move in, Sun, evidence, okay? So that's what we heard from Dennis Danielson last night. But in contrast, Christianity seems to say some pretty final things about God, especially in the core doctrines, right? So I'm not really open to a new research project on whether Jesus is not Lord. I'm not going around saying, hey, well, we think he's Lord. I'm not the Apostle Paul in the first century saying, oh, well, Jesus is probably Lord. Our best researchers are on it. We're open to new research projects, but this is the best we have so far. Repent and believe, right? Like, you can't really do that. So I hope you feel the juxtaposition with me. So my point is to get us into trouble and then hopefully you get us out of it. Don't we all as Christians even admire people who change their minds? You can think of famous atheists who studied something and became a Christian. You can think of somebody who fill in the blank, right? We usually admire people who have great personal cause change their minds. So this is just amping it up. I'm just dialing out the problem. Anthony Flew could be an example, depending on how seriously you take that book. So there seems to be a tension between openness to new evidence and being self-critical, and that read honesty, right? Versus a deep, assured, devoted Christian faith. Because I'm not open to the idea that Jesus is not Lord. I'm just not open to that. I'm not. I don't think I need to pretend I am, in order to be honest. I really think that I need to be able to be a first century apostle and go around and preach to the throne. I really think that has to be what they did. So what do I do? Okay, are we invincible to new evidence? Are we just dishonest? Do the new evidences and arguments bounce off us like Superman? And if they do, is that dishonest? Well, how can we honestly witness? And I said that, couldn't we be wrong? Let's make it a little bit worse. People who don't believe are blinded by Satan. Rocky soil if they don't receive the gospel. And they're lacking ears to hear, so the Bible just explains away their unbelief. And I start to think, okay, shoot, am I in an echo chamber? Uh-oh. And I trust Jesus enough that I think I can stare all the way down this question, and he's going to be there all the way. So this was a personally risky move for me, but I believe I've satisfied myself in this, and hopefully I'll satisfy you as well. So this is the same thing I've said. Oh, wait, one thing. So on the one hand, we got to be open-minded, but on the other hand, what if God really did speak? Because that's the other hand here, right? Like, we can say, well, on the face of it, science seems more self-critical. But what if this really did happen? What if outside-in communication happens? So, here we go. So the challenge is going to be, let's just put it in the strongest form here, Christianity dishonestly presents itself as the truth. Christians just assume God exists. Christians blindly trust what they think is God's revelation. They preach the gospel as if they couldn't be wrong. Christianity could be a delusion. This is the challenger speaking. This is not my paper. Christians don't honestly deal with contrary evidence. They reject it without considering it. They try to explain away unbelief without hominem attacks. And science is just plainly more honest than Christianity. Well, I'm going to make a three-move response. The first move is that divine authorities have got to be, by definition, greater than human authority. You can't. If it's not, then it's an oxymoron. We can't assume that we're objective, innocent explorers. Let's flesh that out. So, flashlight, analogy. Let's pretend you're in a dark room, and you're with your friend, and hey, which way is out? Your friend shines it on a sign, hey, that way's out. Well, trust a flashlight, illuminate a sign, the sign says that way's out, let's go out. Now, you go outside, and you see another sign, hey, we gotta go right. And your friend says, well, hold the phone, this is broad daylight. He gets out his flashlight again, he's right. He signs it up, shines it right on that sign. Okay, yeah, you're right, we'll go right. So what's wrong with that? That's the question, what is wrong with that? Well, you can't get, figuratively, for all intents and purposes, there's no light brighter than the sun. There's an upper limit, there is such a thing as the highest court of authority. And you either accept that court, or you don't, but you can't get behind it. You eventually run out of authorities, you eventually run out, at least that's what I think. So if capital A authority shows up, you either believe or you don't. If capital A authority becomes flesh, you either have ears to hear or you don't. That's what I think. So, fishbowl problem. Here's another thought experiment with the same thing. Let's imagine that this is the whole universe and all of human experience and everything we can do on our own steam. Well, if there really is an outside, then science and reason can't see outside because, again, we just said, if there is an outside to everything we can do, then we can't do that, right? Let's keep that in mind. We can't get outside. Only possibility is outside in. If these fish contact this, it's because somebody reaches in, maybe they become a fish, but it's not the other way. We cannot have a maximally objective view from the outside. Not one of those fish. So, revelation or nothing. Those are your options. That's the position we're in. Either he becomes a man, he lives among us, or he doesn't. But we don't go out there. It doesn't say, I'm not saying we can't do anything at all, but we can't do that. We cannot go grab God for ourselves. So any authority, mediated or not, I believe that God's authority is mediated to us through all kinds of things, scripture, apostles, you name it, outside in. So the temptation for both skeptics and apologetics, I think, is to reduce the knowledge of God to something that we can master and verify to ourselves, by ourselves, on our terms. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong if I'm a Christian because, oh, well, yeah, I accept knowledge of God. I verified it to myself, by myself, on my own terms. And since I accept my authority, I'm a Christian. That can't be it. That might be part of it. That might be part of the broken process that we all come to face in, right? Because the big subtext here is, of course, God is always drawing us to Him with through all kinds of broken methods. There's no perfect way to become a Christian. It's always grace, right? So we pretend that we can see outside in. So Dawkins says, hey, yeah, I've been out there, there's nothing, or a strong atheist says that. And what I would think of flawed apologetics would be is, I've been out there, and there is. Sorry. Lots of good arguments, but if you're saying that, you're saying too much. There is no other foundation than Jesus Christ, and that includes apologetic arguments. That includes evidence for science. That includes everything. I'm not saying apologetics can't do anything, it's just they can't do that. Fair? It's going to have to be. So, another obstacle to the project of trying to verify God for ourselves is that we, if we're taking Scripture seriously, Scripture seems to be skeptical about our heart. Paul in Romans 1 says that we suppress the truth. Our hearts are deceitful and sick above all else. In Jeremiah, Jesus has a little view of the human heart, at least at times. You could suggest, I might wager. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. So the Bible takes a somewhat skeptical view of the human heart. I'm going to float that across. So I like Leslie Newbegin in this book. We tend to make the mistake in modern thinking of approaching reality as if we're the explorers. We go out there, we're the Starship Enterprise, exploring, waiting to explore some neutral reality, and I love Star Trek. But I'm sorry, the new series is okay, but the point is here that view of the world, where we're going out, and we're innocent, and our questions are the ones that matter. Reality is ours to freely, sovereignly discover all the way down, is flawed, because the gospel questions us. Jesus comes and questions us. We are not open-minded, honest explorers of reality. We have alienated ourselves from reality, Newbegin says, because we have made ourselves the center of the universe. So you begin to see there's not a lot of middle ground. There's not any middle ground on whether there's a higher authority. You can't be halfway on it. Either we're at the end of the chain of authority, or God is, or whatever, but you can't be neutral on that question. Or if you can, tell me after. Paul says we demolish arguments and pretensions. Well, I think that there's a pretension against the knowledge of God in modernity, in here, in the idea that we can somehow meet God in a neutral arena called being, where we're on equal footing, and we can just kind of come over and discover God. I don't think that's biblical, I don't think it's philosophically sound, and I don't believe it. So, it's not really ad hominem. Remember we talked about saying people are blinded by Satan? That's not actually an ad hominem attack if it's really true. It's not actually an ad hominem attack if there's some reason that person really wouldn't understand. I mean, if you say this to your kid, you'll understand when you're older. That cannot be an ad hominem attack. Because it's true. So it's not dishonest to take that skepticism seriously. So we can't get outside any encounter with a given reality and prove it in terms of don't already appeal to this. That sounds complicated, but imagine you woke up one day and you lost faith in your sight. Is this really here? I don't know. Oh, it is. But what if I didn't trust my touch? And what if I ran out of senses to trust? Well, there'd be no way to argue myself back into trusting my senses. There'd be no way to argue you back into trusting that other people really exist if you ever really lost that faith. No non-circular way of getting back. If you lost faith that the natural world exists, if you really stopped believing this world existed, there's nothing logical, there's no argument to get you back. You either accept the experience or you don't. So in general, some person will not accept any evidence or something without somehow appealing to the existence or experience of it, well, you're just out of luck. The person who doesn't believe other people exist will not listen to you. So, when Thomas Torrance gave me this interesting thought that the way we get to know a rock is different than the way we get to know God is different than the way we get to know other people. These are called modalities of reason. And so there's different objects of knowledge. In the natural world, creatures get to know other creatures. We accept sensory input. We reject anti-realism. We take the risk that maybe there is not a physical world, but we go anyway, and we can do physical science. We are the master of that knowledge. Empirical evidence has more authority than our theories. If I find out the Earth actually goes around the sun, I have to reject my theory. I won't go through this, but you can see the parallel. Proving an object. But can you prove nature exists? Is it dishonest to be a scientist if you can't prove that nature exists? No. Or is it dishonest to know people if you don't believe, if somebody else doesn't believe people exist? It's not dishonest. So, theology and science can each be self-critical and believe their respective objects. So what I mean by that, as a scientist, a person tests what they believe by nature, and a theologian tests what they think by theological sources of authority. So scripture, revealed truths, that sort of thing. So if you ask theology to switch gears and test everything by science, well, that's not really fair. It's no more fair than asking science to test everything by theology. And I'm not saying they can't intermingle. There's lots to say about that in a different talk. It takes humility to be a scientist because you have to repent of your theory about nature and believe the evidence. So I think there's a lot of cross-pollination. So there's limits, the basic human epistemic limits, limits of honesty in science, all kinds of things in science. You weren't argued into the world, you just exist in it. All this is to say that when you come to God, look at how much bigger the disadvantage is here. So if Dawkins is going to come and critique theological knowledge, let's just be honest with what we're talking about. Creature, 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 creator. Finite encounters, infinite finite encounter. There's still a risk. There's still a project. The big offense, I think, is that God is the master of this kind of knowledge. God is the master of theological knowledge. In science, I can call a lot of the shots. I can't decide what's in the ground before I dig it, but I can decide pretty well everything else about that. But when God encounters you, you aren't in charge. Things go backwards. That's all this is about. Fancy ways of saying God's in charge. Basic epistemic and moral limits are in place, just like science, but we also have these other problems, the fishbowl and flashlight problem. We have this problem of authority runs out. We have a problem that you can't get outside the universe and check. And that if there was anyone outside there, they would be at an advantage compared to you. And then not everyone necessarily is encountered by God, and that just depends how Calvinist you are, and I won't tell. And there's sin and rebellion, which doesn't affect science the same way. Like, you aren't. Some people, I think, suppress scientific knowledge, but I don't think we're spiritually suppressing it in the same way that people are spiritually suppressing religious truths. So, a lot going against us. This is about the confidence of witnessing. See, if God can make himself an object of our language, so this cannot happen in science. The sun can't make itself, cannot commandeer human language in a loving, effective way and communicate knowledge of the sun to you. The sun is not even a person. But if God really is God, then he can make us the recipients of knowledge about him. And in fact, this is the only kind of knowledge. Not even interpersonal knowledge can do this. There's still miscommunications in personal relationships. But in this relationship, it has the potential, and that's why Torrance says that revelation actually can be more objective than scientific knowledge. Not less. Not equal, not less, but more objective. Because if God is really revealing himself, then you have, it rests with God. Like, don't get me wrong, Dawkins is not happy with this response. But I think we place the problem. Do you see what I'm saying? So I won't bore you. But the point is that we can be confident even though we can't be satisfying for skeptics. So we can be honest, and I think that I've satisfied myself with that, but I can't satisfy the person who refuses to believe that there's an authority higher and rejects the possibility before we start. Obviously, I've written a book on this. So I can place the problem, but I can't resolve the problem, because if I could resolve this problem, it would mean that I actually stood above it in that place that I'm saying we can't stand. That I've stood above it, I've seen God, I've seen us, and I've understood the relationship between us. And if I've done that, where am I? If I have comprehended, here's God, here's humans, here's the gears, here's how they interact, where am I? I can't say that. I can never say that. And in the moment I try to say that, much less place limitations on God on the basis of saying that. Well, whatever I'm saying, it can't be what it claims to be. So, we are encountered both by nature and by God. We should be honest about it all. But I do not speak as somebody who has done the math with Jesus coming out on top. This is really what I got out of this whole thing, this whole encounter. Is I realized I don't believe in Jesus because I did the math, and he came out on top. I believe in Jesus, and I'm a Christian, only if I'm actually being transformed by the Holy Spirit. According to his plans. Only if he is the author of my faith do I have faith. So do you see that we're both kind of like, oh shoot, we're disappointed, we don't really get to answer Dawkins. But at the same time, it's like, no, if Christianity is, if it's true, then it's not dishonest. Could it be a delusion? Sure. The natural world can be a delusion. I could be lying. Lots of things can be the case. But we all go about our lives responsibly committing, this is Michael Polanyi, if you know that name, to what we have in front of us. So, I think there's more stuff here, but...
More stuff, but not more time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Let's give a couple of... So, first of all, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We'll take a couple of minutes for questions. So, in the back there, and then over here.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Really appreciate your talk. So you said at the outset you weren't going to be talking about specific sciences, specific scientific claims, and it became apparent as you were talking through that you weren't really talking a lot about specific Christianity, specific Christian claims either. You kind of talk, in general terms about science, about Christianity. I'm wondering, I mean, the details matter, though, right? I mean, once, I mean, if you're talking about specific claims, I mean, there's claims, you know, God exists. Jesus of Nazareth walked on earth. Jesus rose from the dead. The universe was specially created 10,000 years ago or less. You know, all sorts of claims that when people think about when they're Christians, that, you know, there's a long list of things that they kind of pack into what they're thinking in Christianity. And it seems to me, if we're comparing Christianity to science, I mean, or just to this notion of evidence, right? Well, there's lots of things that could count about evidence against some of these, some particular claims, mm-hmm. right? And it seems like some, in some cases, science is way better positioned to give us what's, you know, a sense of what's true about the world, even if you're, you know, we're packing these different things. So I guess I'm just, you know, how does that fit with what you're, the big picture you're going to want to say? I mean, mm-hmm. if I pack into my Christianity a whole host of things, and I believe these things are true, when science is actually better positioned to answer them and gives me, and in fact, you know, gives me a different answer than what I packed into my Christianity, then I am being dishonest. I think it's that kind of phenomenon of disagreement that Dawkins and others are going to point mm-hmm. at. And what do you say to that?
Well, partly I say I have more slides, but I guess let me pick out a couple things. So first of all, I definitely am not saying that we should use the Bible as a book of science. Like I wish I could couple this with a separate talk I give on just precisely how I think the two should relate. But in a nutshell, I think that theology and Christian religion should look to the object of revealed truth and receive that as its primary orientation, and that science needs to look at the natural world as its object of knowledge. And neither project should try to do the other one's knowing for it. So if you think that you can do theology and you're gonna now look at the natural world and be like, okay, well, Bishop Usher says this about how many years people were alive, therefore that. Well, I think what you're doing is you're making the same mistake as somebody who looks at science and says, okay, well, I can say this about quantum physics, therefore, if there's a God, he could never contravene this law of nature we've discovered. Like, I read a paper where someone said that God couldn't ever violate special relativity. And I just thought, that's the same mistake, just totally reversed, right? So I can probably learn about God from nature, but only in this secondary, very conditioned kind of a way, in the sense that God is the author of nature. And I can probably learn about science from the Bible, but only in the very special, well, I shouldn't say probably. I could learn about science from the Bible only if the author of nature had decided to reveal truth about nature in Scripture. And it seems to me that he hasn't. But if he did, then that would be an authoritative statement. Like if Jesus actually said force equals mass times acceleration, and we knew by doing the grammar and the context that we could receive it in the proper way that way, then I think that would be authoritative. So I don't know if that goes any distance toward. Okay, thank you.
One really quick question.
Oh, over here. Okay.
And a quick answer.
Okay.
Thanks for taking time to share here.
Mm-hmm.
Question I actually had is, question what is honesty? And the reason I'm asking that is, it seems to me that your talk is predicated on artifactual dualism, where honest or dishonest. And it seems to me that I've never been a real honest scientist. I've never been a real, authentic, and totally honest Christian. Most of us, we have the phenomenon of honesty, exists somewhere else. And it seems to me that you're positioning your argument is predicated on a phenomenon that doesn't exist anywhere.
On a phenomenon. This duality.
That's what I'm trying to get at. What is it you're trying to get at?
I've often thought I wish I could really nail down a definition of honesty that would fly in every occasion. And sometimes giving people what you think is the truth moves them away from the truth. And sometimes you can be emotionally dishonest even though your content is honest. And there's all kinds of dimensions here. But for me, what I'm really dealing with here is, am I humble and Am I humbly open to the possibility that I could be wrong? That's really what I mean. That's pretty well. Does that help? Because I think you can be humbly open to that, or you can be not. And I think we encounter that in ourselves and each other enough to perhaps know enough what I mean without me having a definition. At least I feel I do. But I'd like to define it more if you have so many recommendations.
All right. Well, we'll
all right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.